One American who's getting to know Russia pretty well is Edward Snowden. The former NSA contractor has been living in Moscow for about a year now under Russian asylum. This week, he reportedly made his first public appearance there, attending a performance at the Bolshoi Theater. And apparently he wants to stay. No, not in the theater, though apparently he had a sweet box seat and enjoyed the opera, Rimsky-Korsakov's The Tsar's Bride. No, Snowden wants to stay in Russia. He recently asked the Kremlin to extend his visa. Charles Maines has more from Moscow.
Ever since Edward Snowden received asylum in Russia last year, Russian authorities have showcased his revelations of U.S. government surveillance at near every turn. Take the time in April when Snowden submitted a perhaps naive question to President Vladimir Putin during Putin's annual televised national call-in show.
So I'd like to ask you, does Russia intercept, store, or analyze in any way the communications of millions of individuals?
Putin used the opportunity to assure that Russia used surveillance with only strict permission of the courts, unlike someone we know. But Snowden's decision to prolong his stay in Russia comes as the Russian government has moved to restrict online freedoms and expand existing surveillance at home. Under a law signed by Putin last month, Western tech companies doing business in Russia must host their servers on Russian soil by September of 2016. Russia says it's to protect Russian privacy data from U.S. snooping. But observers say the real purpose is to give Russia's security services something they've never had before, backdoor access to Russian user profile data held by Western tech companies. Sarkis Dabrinyan is a lawyer affiliated with the Russian Association of Internet Users. He calls this a deeply ironic turn of events.
After Snowden's revelations, our authorities said, okay, we don't want the Americans to monitor our people. We want to monitor our people. And so the country that took in Snowden so he could air his revelations became one of the leaders in mass surveillance of its own citizens.
The law applies to all Western tech companies, but some more than others, says Andrei Mima, founder of Kubaka, a small startup based in St. Petersburg.
Russian government will not be interested in my startup, as it will not be interested in any other middle-sized or small company. It actually is targeted to some specific companies or people.
Like Facebook, Twitter, Google, and others popular with Russia's political opposition. And there are other new internet-related laws now on the books. One requires bloggers with more than 3,000 readers to register as full-fledged media outlets, exposing them to libel for any content or even posted comments. Then there are changes to Russia's murky anti-extremism law. Now an ill-advised posting or tweet can land you in a whole lot of trouble. Artyom Loskadov, a Siberian artist and activist, knows this better than some. He recently ran into problems when he distributed information online about a march for Siberian federalization. It's an event he and his friends were organizing in Novosibirsk to protest what they say is a long-simmering dispute with Moscow, how the Kremlin spends Siberian tax rubles. He says their plan was to just have a march, which is allowed under Russian law. And in writing about it, he says there was never any talk of separatism. They wanted to create a more autonomous Siberian Republic within the Russian Federation, given that Moscow doesn't govern the regions effectively. But that was more than Russia's internet governing body was willing to tolerate. News of the march was stripped from social media, including Facebook. A dozen media websites took down information about it under threat of a total blackout. Even the BBC's Russian service was issued a warning, which they largely ignored amid ongoing threats. And this gets to the heart of the problem. With traditional media largely under state control, the internet now serves as the primary source for independent news and discussion. But the new laws are having an impact, says Andrei Soldatov, who writes about surveillance issues in Russia.
The media landscape and how people talk online is already changing. In my circle, with my friends, well, many became more cautious in expressing their views.
A little more than 2 years ago, Russia's opposition used the internet to organize mass street protests against the return of Putin as president. That protest movement ultimately fizzled, but the Kremlin took notice of the internet's power, says the lawyer Sarkis Dabrinyan.
Particularly after the Arab Spring, after the events in Ukraine, and I think it scares certain people in the Kremlin that this could happen in Russia.
The new laws give the Kremlin powerful new tools to thwart perceived enemies at home, and Edward Snowden a front row seat to a controversy over surveillance that seems to follow him wherever he goes. Just how loudly he speaks up on the issue in Russia may depend on just how long he plans to stay. For The World, this is Charles Maines in Moscow.